Righto, we're on.
Don.
Yep. You cannot be serious. What do you want? What are you signaling for?
You cannot be serious.
Oh, when do you want me to say?
Just now.
You ready? Just flag
do
me
like,
in. One, two.
Do
ready?
It like McEnroe. Get up.
You can't be serious.
You cannot be serious, oh. He said.
You cannot be serious. Wait, was that any good or not?
No.
Oh, jeez. How long is this machine going to be before it's fixed?
Fuck that up, eh?
Well, no, you better. Didn't. It was terrific.
And sing along, Rocket. Come on, let's have a sing along, the three of us. Come on, old times. Love can be strong. We're going to get right back to where we started from. That's the three of us. We'll go on a little jamboree after this, Don. Yeah. Isn't it fun?
Right, come on.
Right, Don. So,
what?
Right, my first. I know we've discussed this previously, so why am I discussing it again? How could possibly the Olympic Games be going on in Tokyo? They said the Mexican baseball team has tested positive for COVID. There's
the
more
whole
than
lot of them. Everyone.
No, not everyone.
Oh, well,
just a minute. There's more than 70 positive tests among the athletes and the officials that in the Olympic hub. And they say that the Olympic hub, the infection is likely to spread to the public, who I don't think are actually allowed to go to the games, are they?
Well,
there's
I
no
thought
crowds.
The Japanese public were reacting in a negative way towards the Olympics anyway, prior to the Olympics commencing, months ago.
I only asked this question for input from
why
either
has
of
it got
you.
It, why are the Olympics...
How could that possibly be going ahead when we're...
I was just going to say, why is it going to go ahead, the Olympics?
There's 38,000 cases a day in Indonesia. People testing positive. But how can that possibly go ahead in Tokyo?
What's Indonesia got to do with Japan?
Well, because it's a pandemic that's spreading across the world as we speak, and yet we're having a group of athletes from all over the world attend for what reason? Just to so that the Japanese can have the Olympic Games.
I think it's TV rights, and I think it's the Olympic movement Japan.
Okay, so whatever it is, Rocket. So whatever it is, you're
what
saying
about
that
the poor
TV
people
rights
who have dedicated
over...
their life for the last 5 years.
What's that?
The poor athletes that have dedicated their life to it for the last 5 years.
I couldn't agree with you more. So the television rights, the athletes, so that trumps, that accounts for the fact that let it go ahead because the athletes have dedicated themselves the TV rights, but the rest of the world is in absolute lockdown and chaos, but let that go ahead because, oh no, it's too big to fail. No, it's extraordinary.
Well, it's happening here in Australia.
It is. How was the AFL going
How does the AFL get away with bringing two teams from Adelaide? I thought that it was lockdown.
I've had this to bring up when I have coffee with my friend. Because I know they're wading through the applicants for the football, what is it called?
Ops.
What? Football operations manager, and I think that Gil's going to probably give me a call when all the entrants are in and say who
well,
I've got.
They close on Sunday, so you'll probably get a call. Or did they close Sunday gone? One of the two. You'll get a call from him soon.
I'll get a call and he'll say, these are the people up for the job. There's Brad Scott, there's Billy Bunter, there's Fatty Boomba, there's all these people. And I'll say, he'll probably say to me, as I'm a friend of his, he'll probably say, mate, I think you're through. I think you're home and hosed. And if
But are you a friend? Are you a friend of his? Because he seems to appoint his friends.
Jobs what? For the boys, so he's yes. home and hosed.
It's called the boys' club. Are you in the boys' club?
He started the boys' club.
Who? John. Johnny?
Yeah, back in the day of the footy show.
Yeah.
They were the boys at the back of the bus.
Yeah. I think. What do you say?
I don't know.
So, Don, I'm sure that if it gets down, if it goes to the wire, I'll be eased in by Gil because he will say, well, you're a friend of mine. I know you well. You've got integrity. You're a solid man. You don't speak with a forked tongue. No bullshit. There's no prevarication. And that's the thing that we have in common. He doesn't speak bullshit. He doesn't prevaricate. Had his... doesn't speak with a forked tongue. So we are as straight as a gun barrel, we are. The others could go to sleep in a trumpet because they're crooked. Yeah, but not Gil and I.
Yeah, but you didn't play amateur footy.
What?
You weren't an amateur
That's
footballer.
Why he respects me, because I've played at the higher level and he defers.
No, you're not one of the boys because you didn't play at the Ammos.
How are we going, Rocket? How am I going, Dee?
You were too good, weren't you? You just skipped. You went straight from schoolboy footy into the senior.
Straight from. As you keep didn't telling us. Stuff around with you. What did you play, an underground football?
Yeah, I played under 19s.
Oh, turn it
I
up,
worked my way up.
No, I was there in the first place.
I know you were. You're gifted. You had the silver spoon in your mouth.
Cocky.
Jammed so far down my throat you
couldn't
get it
right.
out with
you
a
couldn't
crowbar.
Get it out. Exactly right.
That's right. Superior.
That's right.
I got a superiority complex.
Yeah, I know you have. I know that.
A shopping complex.
A what?
A shopping complex.
It's shopping? Yeah. What's shopping?
Your complex is so big, it's a shopping complex.
Oh, well done, Rocket. Bit of humour there. I tell you what, it's been fantastic today. The
now
camaraderie.
The fun part is watching you try to hold it together.
Camaraderie that you two have embarked on today to appease me, because I tell you what, I've nearly been run ragged taking phone calls from you. Says this about me. And then the Rocket says, you know what, Don is a fucking arsehat. And I say, well, hang on a minute. I'll get back to you.
I didn't call you. I've not. You checked my phone. There's no outgoing calls here.
Did you boys read about Tony Jewell having an altercation?
Another one
in the supermarket at Sorrento.
Did we read about it? No, I didn't.
It's just bad reporting by the journalist.
Oh yeah, what happened?
Well,
Tony Sheehan.
Who?
Tony Sheehan wrote it.
Well, whoever wrote it put down. Tony was confronted by a 204-centimetre.
No, it said Tony confronted them.
Yes, but he said that the boy that he confronted was 204 centimetres. So I've immediately gone...
That's 7 foot.
It's pretty big. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't think it is.
Is it really? No.
I don't think it is.
Aaron Sandilands was 204 centimetres, wasn't he?
Well, anyway, it's fairly tall. Very tall.
Yeah, it's pretty tall.
And the boy was in Oakley 6'10". Chargers uniform, he and his two mates, and they weren't wearing masks.
6'8".
What?
Oh, is it?
6'8".
Oh, sorry, I was... Don.
Anyway, so I've gone through the Oakley Chargers list, and I see a boy 204 centimetres. Then I'm told later, no, it wasn't that boy, it was someone else.
Who was it? Tell us.
Oh no.
Don.
Yes.
Would you think it would be good for the listener, even the one in Israel who's dodging mortars from Hezbollah, and got the earphones on, would you think it would be a good idea to say, Tony Jewell, it is alleged, was in an altercation with someone in a supermarket over, give us the picture, I have no idea what you're talking about, man. Explain.
Don't you read mainstream media?
No.
Well,
and nor does the man
in Israel. I assumed you would be reading mainstream media.
That the people listening don't know what you're talking about.
Jewell sends mask flouter packing is the headline. A potential top two AFL draft pick was sent packing from a Sorrento supermarket by a Richmond Premiership legend yesterday for failing to sport a mask. Richmond's 1980 Premiership coach Tony Jewell was incensed at the young fella's refusal to wear a mask like everyone else in the IGA supermarket in Sorrento's main street.
Well, there you are, Don.
Tensions are high. TJ approached a man. Yeah, the 204-centimetre aspiring AFL player was said his was broken. I read that shit out. Jewell was then asked to see the evidence, and when he failed to produce it, TJ told him, get out.
Well, there you are. Why couldn't you explain
and
that?
And his mates were smirking behind his back, which incensed Tony. And
what Tony
so
do?
I go immediately to look at the Oakley Chargers list, because these boys are wearing Oakley Chargers, which is an under-18 competition for all those people out there that don't know, for aspiring footballers. How am I doing, Johnny, setting
it's
the scene?
It's quite funny that you went through all this effort, though. You went and checked their list for a 204 centimetre.
Yeah, because I wanted to know who it was.
Why don't you just ask TJ?
Yeah.
He didn't know who it was.
Oh. And they would smirk behind.
It happened to be the boy that was 204. It was another fellow.
So
apparently, alleged.
So if if Tony is berating a man who's 240, his teammates would be smirking. I don't think there's any problem with them smirking behind his back, because you'd be laughing at your mate getting dressed down by Tony. That's fair enough. But so why didn't he wear... He said he'd broken his mask, did he?
He said he broke his mask. But the point is what I'm saying about the story...
Yes.
...is that it wasn't the 204-centimetre... at Oakley. Now, he's being accused of something that he didn't do. It was another player.
Legal action?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if there's legal action, but...
I wouldn't have thought so.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's incorrect reporting. If you're in that situation, you're the only boy that's 204 centimetres. No, it wasn't me.
Nobody else is getting online to check that.
Well, I don't care. That's no, him. How do you know?
You're gone the one that attached his name.
You've gone straight to the player list at the Oakley Chargers to see who's 204 centimetres.
That's right.
Let's hope there's no one 203 centimetres, because you might name someone incorrectly, Don. Don, why is tennis and golf in the Olympics?
I don't know. I've said that when it was first introduced.
I see.
If it's not the pinnacle of your sport, it shouldn't be there.
Correct. That's quite correct. And now you sent me a thing, Don, I think. You sent me a thing, or did I read it?
No, you don't read mainstream media.
Russia Tonight.
I read it on a news flash that came on the phone. Was it about the equestrian event? Is it about a...
There is conjecture, and they've gone to court, well, a court of arbitration, or they've appealed the selection process and the selection itself.
He was ranked 94th in the world, and someone who's ranked 380th... Well,
I think he was ranked 50th, wasn't he?
Well, someone 59. Who's ranked 80th...
There were people there that were ranked 1154. Seriously, how are they even going? Why are we spending...
Okay, let me say a couple of things.
We should paint the picture, Don.
No, you paint the picture. No, because I'm not good at painting. I can't paint.
Well, the Olympic selection for Australian entrance into the equestrian event have not selected someone who's ranked 54th in the world, but has been superseded been overrun by someone who's ranked 390th in the world, and there's all hell broken loose because it's meant to be based on merit and it's not. Is that basically it?
Okay, but the criteria, and there is a criteria, there's a number of pages, and the criteria wasn't the point system. This point system can be gained on a number of horses.
Hang on, can I just get that clear, though?
Yeah,
so Rowan Willis is ranked 59th in the world. He's missed out, right?
He's missed out.
Okay, but these are the people that did go. So Edwina Tops Alexander is ranked 311th.
Yes.
Katie Laurie is ranked 469th.
Right.
And Jamie Kermond is ranked 1150 in the world. Seriously, this is bullshit. Why are people that are ranked 311, let alone 1150,
okay,
going?
Now, with each of those, I'll try and give you a little bit of justification. Rowan Willis, for example, picked up a lot of points on his other horses. And apparently that horse that is going to the Olympics, Blue Movie, picked up 40-odd points or whatever. So of his, say, 520 points, a small percentage of those were picked up on a horse called Blue Movie, which is his
horse.
And
your point. Carrots.
And my point is, he didn't pick up all his points on this horse called Blue Movie.
He gives a stuff what horse he picked
now,
up.
Now, they both went to a competition
Do they pick the rider or the horse?
It's a combination. Now, Katie Laurie went to it. They both competed at a 4 or 5 star show in America a couple of weeks ago, and in the same event, Rowan Willis and Katie Laurie, she finished fifth. She jumped two clear rounds, finished fifth. He had two rails down in the first. Now, the criteria never was about points. Now, Jamie Kermond, and they say there's a conflict of interest between a selector.
He's ranked 1150.
Now,
in the
world. He had the best horse.
Wouldn't be 1150 equestrian riders in the world.
He had the best horse, which, and you don't get points in Australia because a lot of shows are like the Royal Shows, Melbourne Royal, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide Royal Show. Only at Easter, he had the best horse in Group 1. The best horse in Group 1. But he doesn't receive any points for that. Now, he didn't start at Gatton World Cup, and a lot of other top riders didn't start in the World Cup at Gatton, which was only a couple of months ago because of the state of the ground. And I don't know why he didn't start at Caboolture, which was the following week, which was indoor. But I don't know why he didn't.
Nobody ranked 1150 in anything should be going to the Olympics.
Well, this boy...
And if he has the audacity to get one of those Olympic tattoos, it'll be on.
The mistake was made by the Federation by only having two selectors. They should have had more than two selectors, and it's very, very subjective. And although one selector who sponsors through his business, sponsors Jamie Kermit, absented himself from the vote, you can blame the other remaining selector for the selection of Jamie Kermit. It shouldn't be... The selector, Stephen Lamb, who works for Horsepower, he's a selector Stephen who Lamb. Also sponsors Jamie Kerman, and they said there's a tie-up there.
What chance?
But he absented himself. Right, so really, they had the criteria printed out, which and the points
he
rankings.
He recused himself.
Absented himself
from
the voting.
Same thing. He recused himself. He didn't vote.
Yeah, that's right.
Absented him or recused. So Don, what chance would someone who's ranked 1150 in the world have? What chance would they have of taking the buttered confection?
Well, the only one that will come anywhere near, in my opinion, will
is Rowan.
Be Edwina Alexander.
She's 469th.
So she could get in the top three.
No, I'm not saying it's a very different. The only time Australia's got near a medal was in Tokyo in 1960. John Fay was the rider's name on a horse called Bonvale, and they came fourth. They jumped off for the bronze medal, and that's the closest Australia has ever.
What about Greg Hoy and all those? What are they?
He is in eventing. This is show jumping.
What's the difference?
Oh, yeah. What's that? Dressage.
Andrew Hoy is his name, not Greg Hoy. Andrew Hoy.
What's the difference then?
Well, one's a decathlete type of event and one is at a specialty event. So Don, and show jumping is a specialty event.
Don, I've seen you jump over fences. Is that
and you should know a little bit because you're a very great, you're a very good commentator of show jumping too.
Yes,
you have commentated.
I have
not.
He's very, very good.
Very, very good.
So adds Don, a lot of humour to the commentary.
Yeah. It wasn't that funny, Don.
Well, shut I up, thought Rocket. It was, and everybody else on Facebook, they tell me thought it was.
No, you're getting on well with don't start disagreeing.
They got a bit of a
him.
Thrill because Sam got involved in equestrian. What's it? So is equestrian the overarching title?
What?
What's the difference between show jumping and equestrian?
It's equestrian. Don't. It's horse riding. There's
so
dressage.
So equestrian is the overarching sport, and then there's subsections like show jumping, dressage. What was the one that
what's the one you
Hoy
do?
Did? What's the one that show the Hoy jumping. Guy did?
So why could – so, Don, you could you go to the Olympics and show jump? I've seen you jump over those giant hurdles down when I was commentating. I think one of them was at least, half a metre high, and the horse actually stepped over it and still knocked the rail off, and you berated the living suitcase out of it. You smashed.
If you can't finish in the top – if you're no hope of making a podium finish, you shouldn't go.
That is a very good point.
And that's seriously.
That is a very, very good point. We do very well and would be a chance in eventing, but the other types were just making up the numbers.
And we
qualified as a team at the World Championship. They had a very good team 3 years ago, I think, at the World Championships in America, and they finished and qualified. But that team. A lot of them are not there, plus the fact their horses probably peaked at that stage and are on the downward slide.
The horses have peaked.
Yes.
It's just selfish. It's just, isn't it? Like why are we sending over people that aren't in the top 1,000 in their sport? We're meant to be celebrating the best of the best. This is meant to be a carnival of the best.
Well, you got the problem here. Yeah, you're right. You get no argument from me. You got to go to Europe. The best competition is Europe. Like the swimming, the swimmers don't go over to Europe or America to qualify because we've got the best here and we set the target and you've got to qualify in the Australian Championships and you go that way.
But the corollary of that, Rocket...
The what?
Corollary?
I don't know what that means.
Corollary.
I thought he was a gymnastic coach for America.
Corollary. That's the opposite, isn't it? I'll look that up in a minute.
Corollary. That's Rick Olerenshaw's mum.
The corollary of that.
Coral Olerenshaw.
The corollary of that, Rocket, is the man who won the ice skating who got a gold medal.
Yeah, Stephen Bradbury.
Stephen Bradbury. They would have said he's ranked 50,000th in the world with all the people who have that as their main sport in the winter over in Europe.
He wasn't that far down.
No, but he didn't have a chance.
But he wouldn't have qualified under my rules.
He didn't have a chance of winning the medal, but he's
got... He had to get to the final. There was a knockout final. He was up there, you know, maybe in the top 20, top 10.
I'm not knocking him, mate.
I think it's a bit like... What is that? How many people do you reckon competed in the Olympics, in the Wimbledon final again? What were you telling me?
Well, it said four did. No, this is the disabled.
Sam reckons that there's only four people that enter the Olympics, the Wimbledon.
They did. I think they did too.
Four?
In the wheelchair.
Yes.
I think there was.
Four. It can't be a grand slam with four people.
I didn't. I read it. It said
I think he's right.
Contestants.
I think he's right.
No.
Well,
surely not. With the fanfare, you can't just have a round robin with four people.
I think he might be right because I think I read something about that as well.
I read it. I'm not saying it. I'm just read it.
Well, there must be some sort of round. This must be some sort of qualifying period you have to win through or something. I don't know. Poor Darren.
Darren who?
Darren Allcott.
Dylan.
Oh.
Darren.
That's
Dylan
what the
Allcott.
Prime called him.
Here, corollary. Right? Corollary. A proposition that is incidentally proved in proving another proposition. So it's the opposite of. It's a corollary. The reverse is...
It's like an exotic bird.
Corollary. What? This is the third word that you've questioned.
Second.
What, an anachronism?
I asked you. I didn't question it.
Yes, you did. I could tell by that smirk on your face.
Because
that's not a word.
Because you're giving me the shit.
You two have ganged up on me today.
No, I haven't. Listen, you're talking about the Olympics and COVID. What about Adelaide and Port Adelaide coming across?
Hang on, speaking of Olympics.
What?
Speaking of Olympics.
Why don't you tell him to shut up? If I interrupt you, say shut up.
You're wearing Michael Johnson's shoes from the 96 Olympics, I see.
Where'd you get them?
You?
They're purely gold.
Yeah.
Every single piece of clothing you've
no,
got.
No, it's not.
Dreiser
Sorry.
Bone, Morrison.
Sorry.
Morrison dries a bone on.
And before we move on from Olympics, we find out about Brisbane at 6:30 tonight.
And the winner is?
Mylanta.
Brisbane. where will it be?
At Brisbane, hopefully.
Would we want them?
Do you remember when we thought we were going to get them in 96?
Yeah.
I went to the, I went to the announcement at the City Square and they called out Atlanta. I was shattered. Young kid.
It cost us $40 million to put the proposition up.
And what about these shoes that they reckon they're cheating with, the Nike shoes?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Tell me what that's about, Rocket. I just
the
saw
Nike shoes, they reckon they're unfair. The spikes. So we've had last year, they've got some new shoes that look like a moon boot for the long distance runners. That are so somebody ran a sub 2 hour marathon and they reckon they're cheating. Rob DiCostello, said they should be banned. And now Nike's come out with a set of spikes that they reckon people are running ridiculous times with.
What
sprints?
What are the? It's like Oscar Pistorius.
That was weird, wasn't it?
He had no legs.
He had springs.
He had springs, was allowed to run. Can you believe that, Don? How can your man have no legs and good and bad luck to him? Is he in jail still?
Fuck him. He shot his missus in the toilet.
It's a bit harsh. Fuck him, I think.
Nah, fuck him. Shot his missus in the toilet. He tried to tell people he thought it was a robber.
No, I was talking
about... He thought the robber came in and did a dump in his toilet, did he?
I was talking about him not having any legs. So, Don, how could you possibly allow a man with a $6 million man with spring legs to run and... Imagine if he won a medal. It's like, I tell you what'll happen.
Well, it's just, listen, we talked about it weeks ago. The Olympics are not what they used to be. They're allowing the weightlifter from New Zealand to compete in the...
I know that. Do you know what's going to be the logical extension of this? And when it happens, no one will be game to push back on it. You'll have someone who's able-bodied will pretend they're disabled. They're a man, they'll pretend they're a disabled woman, they'll get into a wheelchair and they'll go and play in the wheelchair tennis.
The disabled Olympics have been going for a long time. I reckon if that was going to happen, it would have happened by now. It might be happening.
You'll get an able-bodied person.
I don't think so.
There was a basketball team, wasn't there a basketball team?
Hang on, that's a good point. That shouldn't matter. If you're playing in the wheelchair, you're playing in the wheelchair. You shouldn't need to be disabled to play that, should you?
Well, if you're a man transgendering to be a woman, is this a disabled women's tennis? Was that in the Olympics? Wimbledon?
It must have been.
They
didn't show.
There's no women's.
Disabled.
What? There's no women's though.
There's no women's.
You sure?
Why? There was no. What? Why isn't there?
I don't know.
Well, that's sexist.
What's it called? It's not called disabled. What's it called?
Of course it is.
It's not called disabled tennis.
Of course it's called disabled tennis.
Is it?
Well, what would you call it?
I don't know, but it just doesn't feel right putting that into the Google machine. Women's
wheelchair but the tennis.
But the Olympics have been watered down. They were traditional events. They should have just stuck to the traditional events, but they've introduced, surfing?
Yeah.
I think skateboarding's in it.
Windsurf? Yeah, windsurfing.
Windsurfing's in it.
Yeah, windsurfing is in it. Been in for a long time. Mountain bike riding.
Yeah, there was women's. Didi de Groot from the Netherlands won it. She beat South Africa's.
How many entrants?
I don't want to get this wrong.
And we didn't see that on the television?
Well, because we didn't win it. We weren't a chance. We weren't one of the four. Yeah, that's not true, is it?
Mate. What do you think? I make that up? I just read it.
I
might be wrong, but I just read it. Don, you got any
Have we got a comment on Adelaide and Port Adelaide coming to Melbourne to play football? Aren't they contravening the pandemic rules set out?
You would think so, Don. You would think they are.
Why do they...
We're not allowed to go down the supermarket and have four people in a line to buy... provisions, and yet
four quad players are invited. There's obviously a qualifying, to be one of those four is the achievement. Do you know what I'm trying to say? The competition doesn't take place just over those 2 weeks. Clearly, you have to become one of those four people. That's part of the achievement. Then you're invited, then you win.
Why don't they do that with the able-bodied tennis?
Well, because it's probably a bit more difficult to get around stuff, particularly...
What?
It's a bit more difficult to get around.
Why didn't they just have Ash Barty, four women, slug it out beforehand?
I don't know, but it's still a good achievement.
I know it's not under sport, but
to win it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're across international. I know it's not sport. We're talking about international sport. Can I talk about international affairs? Why do you think that the television station, did they do it on purpose to get ratings for their television show?
Explain what you're talking about.
I am trying to.
At least you're speaking in the microphone. Good. Yeah. Go on.
Katie Hopkins.
What?
Do you think that was a publicity stunt done on purpose by the television network?
You're not
network?
Explaining what you're talking Will about.
No.
Katie Hopkins. She's appearing on a reality show. Butt in, butt in, butt in.
Buddy?
No, I said butt in.
Well, you tell me what you're talking about, and I'll show you how to introduce.
Do you think it was a publicity stunt for a reality show that Katie Hopkins was invited to Australia, and she's been deported for contravening COVID rules or protocols or whatever else? She's a British right-wing commentator.
Yes.
Now, do you know
very
about...
Very good.
It's not sport, but you brought it up under...
Katie Hopkins is a star. She's very good at what she says. But because she's a right-wing advocate for all this nonsense that we chat about, the political correctness and the crap that's going on, and she gives her view, she'd be a Trump supporter. And consequently, she gets cancelled or... ostracised because
The people, her opposition, fear the rise of Trump again, and they do everything they can to discredit
the people. Do you realise she came to Australia?
No.
Well, she came to Australia and was doing quarantine in Sydney, but obviously contravened the protocols of, and she's now been deported. Now, do you think it was a publicity stunt, and why should she come to Australia for a reality show? Where would the reality show get permission to do this, or do you think they did it deliberately for publicity for their reality show?
Right, let me just contemplate that. I think probably the latter, Don. That would be just an opinion off the top of my head, because this is an opinion show. I would think it would be publicity for a reality show, and they probably knew she was going to get deported and she didn't quarantine in the right way, I presume. That could be completely off the mark. But I know who Katie Hopkins is.
Because when the politicians were quizzed, and I listened to Bridget McKenzie last night, would not answer the question at all as to how or who gave her, and completely avoided asking the question, answering the question as to how she came here in the first place. So it's got to be a publicity stunt, surely.
Now, I know this is not... Yes, Don, I think you think you could be...
Correct. So we're into our phone, are we?
Well, I'm going to read you something out off it. And I know this is not sport, but I neglected to bring it up, because you're talking about reality people and people in the public eye, and there's a number of politicians, budding politicians, who are ex-sportsmen. One of them is Mr. Dimitina.
Yep.
Is he going to stand, or is he proposing to stand?
He's proposing, I think. One of them was mooted, was Mr. Riewoldt. Mr. Riewoldt.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was mooted, was Mr. Scott. That's you, stupid. You're muted as mooted as thinking of making a run for Parliament, aren't you?
Well, Everyone you talked about is AFL, an AFL footballer.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yep. And yes, that's what I said. And we were asked, now I just wanted to bring this up because I neglected to do it. We were asked, and I think Kel Glare could possibly be the person fronting this petition.
Did you mention Chris Judd?
Chris Judd, that's correct, Chris Judd.
What about a few names in the past who have already become politicians? There's already one there in Canberra. He's the whip, I think, for the Country Party. Damien Drum,
yes.
Played at Geelong, and Coach Fremantle.
Yeah, Justin Madden, yeah.
Yeah. Ray Groom was Premier of Tasmania, played for
Melbourne.
Alan
Stockdale.
Alan
Ray Stockdale.
Ray Groom took over Ron Barassi's 31 number, wasn't he?
He did. Well,
and then we
done.
Got on to someone else. No, we can't go on with that because you've mentioned his name. So that's, of course, nearly tumbled into that. There's another lawsuit. So, Don, we were asked, would we be interested in signing a petition? I didn't run this by you, Don, because I made an executive decision on our behalf. Would we be interested in signing a petition to recall? A recall petition is a tool for the people to fight corruption in any level of government. There's a huge groundswell of support going on to make the Andrews government accountable for the corruption and the dishonesty that's going on in that government. And One of the aspects of it is the disgraceful continuing saga of iCook Foods, which Brett Sutton was up to his eyeballs in, who cancelled their licence erroneously, illegally, dishonestly, because he didn't bother to check why the slug or why the company should suffer the fate of being cancelled by him, to give it to a government agency called what's the government
community chef
So there's corruption on so many levels with this government that people are now getting behind a petition. We were asked to sign it, and I, on our behalf, said we will not sign any petition because we don't want to commit ourselves to being aligned with any political party necessarily or any cause that's going on, because it dilutes the fact that we can speak openly about it. That's why we don't seek sponsorship, because if we got sponsored by someone and we had to actually give them a belting because they'd done something nefarious, we would find that we have a conflict of interest. But could I suggest, if you were going to sign a petition to recall Parliament to get rid of this government, the one reason you would do it would be the disgraceful conduct that has led to iCook Foods being in the predicament they are. Other than that, there's plenty of things about cedar meats and the quarantine, the red shirts, the whole kit and caboodle.
Branch stacking.
Branch stacking's
on both sides, Liberal and Labor. Well, what about the Morrison government, the federal government just at the moment? They promised at the last election about car parks at railway stations.
Sports rorts.
And they've gone out and done it again, trotted it out again in marginal seats. Car parks, they're just as bad. You got that Bridget McKenzie, who was doing the sports raw, what's it called, pork barrelling at the last election. They're just as guilty, the Liberal Party.
The $3 billion overrun for the tunnel, the cancellation of the freeway, it cost the taxpayers $1.5 billion just to garner the votes of the people who got them into power. So there's plenty of reasons to sign a petition, which we're not doing, but we advocate if you want to sign a petition purely on the fact that iCook Foods have been run out of business by the corruption and dishonesty of this government, that would be a reason to sign it.
Okay, but what, more importantly, when is it starting to bear fruit? Because this is going to just drag on. Now, the Abib saga, which happened...
What about your girlfriend?
The Abib saga, which happened back in about 2009, 2010 in Sydney, where he got land rezoned. He bought a property. It was in the coal belt. Got it rezoned. That is only just coming to court now. That's nearly 12 years ago. So this iCook food things, when is it going to bear fruit? When are they going to be judged? I thought Shane Patton was looking at it as a criminal investigation. Why hasn't something come forward from the police?
What about your friend, Crozier, Georgie Crozier?
Georgie, yeah, what about her?
Well, you were on speaking terms on a daily basis with her. Where has that got to? Wasn't she jumping up and down, hopefully, about it?
She's spoken in Parliament
spoken
about
to
it.
Her?
No, I said she's spoken about it in Parliament,
What's
but nothing seems to happen.
When have you last spoken to her?
I don't know. When? What weeks?
When
she
you're
was
out
on?
The back here where oh, we were yeah. listening in yeah, through the door, okay. and you're saying, how are you? And I said, Don, let her go. She's busy. She's a parliamentarian. You said, no, I want to speak to her about other things. How is it all going?
Somebody writing your lines, or are they just coming off the top
well,
of your
how,
head?
How
no, somebody's got to be writing this stuff for you.
No, it's pretty easy to make up. Don't
oh,
worry about that.
Jeez.
What, any more sport?
No.
Has there got any more sport, Don?
No, we've got
what
a guest coming
Dustin
in.
Dustin Martin has suffered a severe injury.
Oh, yeah. Have you rung him and consoled him and told him how you got through it?
Well, as a matter of fact, Rocket, I have.
Good. What did you say? Read it to us.
I will.
Right, did he respond?
No. No, he responds.
Thanks,
when
Sammy.
He responds. I don't want to.
Did you see the incident?
No, I did not.
It was an innocent incident. I thought Robertson had come off worse than what Martin would, but Martin came off worse for wear. Now, what about you when you had your... We talked a little bit about it off air, but tell me again, when you lost your... What was it, kidney or spleen?
Kidney.
So was it an innocent act?
I don't know. Con Britt kneed me in the side in 1967.
Well, he was an aggressive player, Con.
I just said I don't know. I slipped over getting the ball and he kneed me in the side. And he says it wasn't deliberate, so we'll say it wasn't deliberate. How would I know if it's deliberate? But it resulted in my kidney being ruptured and it was removed and that was it. And but Dustin Martin, his is badly lacerated.
Do you want me to I'll read you the message.
Dustin,
this is Sam Newman. I played 300 games.
He's making this up, incidentally.
Well, why don't you read it?
And start on the footy show for 25 years.
No, see, so Rockets just...
I went straight there's a lot of Sam Newmans around. You've got to qualify yourself.
Straight into the seniors.
I didn't say any of this. He's making this up, Don.
No, did you put down I was a
you might have heard
schoolboy
of me.
Star? I could have been an Olympian, 400-metre runner.
Listen to you two. Look, you two are working in unison. It's fantastic. You're thinking up jokes.
I know how serious, painful these injuries are.
Yeah, here he goes.
I had mine ruptured and removed and played the next week.
There he is. He's making it up. See, you don't
how
know
many weeks
serious,
were you, how many weeks
done.
Were you out with it?
Let's all go out and have
no,
some
listen,
coffee after
how
this.
How many weeks? Because you lost a lot of it. I don't think you played for 12 months, did you?
Turn it up.
No, I'm serious. How long were you out for?
I tell you what happened, Don.
Was it deliberate?
I just said. I can see you got the earphones on, but I just said. I don't know if it was deliberate. Con said it wasn't, so I'll take that on face value.
Who was it, Con Brett?
I said that earlier too. Take the fucking earphones
off. I was reading your message to Dustin. card you sent him.
You were making it up.
Do you send him a card?
Magna Carta.
What do I do? I send him a card.
Yeah.
Are you completely fucking stupid? What are you talking about?
A get well card.
He just said he was reading out a text I sent him, and then I said he made it up. What's wrong with you?
Could have got a cartoon, you know, one and get well.
A cartoon? Get a
cartoon. Yeah, those funny little pictures. Get well card.
I could have sent him a picture of you. That's a funny little picture. Now, so Don, I'll just tell you what happened to me because this is about me. I slipped over and I had my blood supply replaced twice and I nearly was touching.
What does that mean?
That I kept internally bleeding and they couldn't stop it.
So transfusions, is it?
Yes.
So you had your total amount of blood
So they say because I was half bled to death in the rooms because it happened 10 minutes into the first quarter and they left me on a stretcher in the rooms.
Bled to death.
I'm very happy to find mirth in this because it's humorous. But my father came in, my late father came in just before half time to see how I was and I was I was white.
Shit.
And I went into the urinal and pissed pure blood. Oh and at that stage, my dear old dad, went into a bit of a panic and the ambulance backed up and they took my shoes and boots off because I was still lying there in my gear in the ambulance. And as they wheeled me into the operating theatre, my mother, anyhow. And so.
Yeah, what? They said goodbye. They were worried.
They said it's pretty touch and go.
And were you around? Sorry, I want to be serious for a second.
Don't be serious.
And so no. You were conscious and hurt or aware of all this?
I was.
Wow.
Because this was 67, and now they would spring right into action. Mm. But so what happened is I had the kidney and I recuperated over the – this is 67. I recuperated over the summer, so that's
months.
Nearly, yeah. And I came back and played the first game. Polly Farmer had left in 67. And I became the number one ruckman for Geelong in 1968, first game back after the kidney, and remained the number one ruckman.
And you played with, hang on, you played
15 years.
Yeah, but didn't you play with a corset?
Not a corset, Don, a kidney guard. Hardly a corset, Don. I've been wearing a corset ever since my first wife found one in the back of my car. that's a joke.
You had to justify it, get it?
Yeah, had to justify it. That's right. It's like, you know...
I thought you had a whole thing around your stomach.
I did. It was a kidney guard.
For how long?
Forever and a day.
No, I didn't. I wore it for a year, and just to give me confidence, because people, you know, trying to get the better of you, would say, watch out for your kidney.
Hang on, is that to protect the one you've got left or the area where the other one is?
No, that's not the... one you got left.
Right, yeah.
And the doctor said, look, if it's a placebo thing, it would have no effect at all. If you're going to get knees, it won't help you at all. So I wore it for a year, and And you'd be amazed that when I came up against people, you know, they'd say, watch out for your kidney, and they'd try and knee you and jump into you and try
who,
and, you know.
Who said, would say that? Like, you know, hey, come on, give us some names.
Oh, all the people I played against, all the people in the ruck. You?
No, I did not. Oh, no. Oh, no, I did not.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Who did?
Said, come on, give me names.
Just...
come on.
Most of the people you'd come up
be
against.
Careful.
Come on.
It hasn't reached the threshold.
What's that?
Didn't you tell me that the threshold is 40 people?
What's that?
If you're gonna slander someone, isn't it?
No,
40?
I'm not slandering them. I would do the same thing if I was playing against someone who had an injury or was susceptible or was a little bit ginger about. I'd say I would actually do that. That's gamesmanship, Don.
No, that's just a horrible streak you've got in your nature.
What? What, to say to someone, watch out.
No,
I'm
no,
going
you
to...
said you would do it on purpose.
I didn't. I said I would say to them, watch out, I'm going to target your kidney.
Oh, well,
I would just say it to them. I wouldn't do it. It's Jeez. Gamesmanship.
It's not.
It'd be murder if they got you.
Yes. That's. Is that why you started jumping early?
No.
To protect yourself.
No, Don, I jumped early because it's...
Yeah, you started jumping.
Who was
I
the
jumped
Fitzroy,
early,
who
Don.
Was the Fitzroy Ruckman we got told about? That you
what?
Like? Who was the Fitzroy Ruckman?
I jumped early, Don, because that's what happens when you jump early. You get over the top of someone.
Sam's,
who's
Sam,
that? Terry
Sam's pointing to a photo of
that's
himself.
That's Terry Alexander underneath you there. Terry, poor Terry Alexander couldn't jump.
That's right.
Yeah, and all you had...
because I used to get in
no,
first.
No, he couldn't get off the ground.
I know this is a great photo of me.
What are you doing, actually? What are you actually doing there?
Farming the bull to build.
Well,
see, there's Bill.
Well, there. I can
see. That's Ron Hoskins, who owns 12 Kentucky Fried
does
Chicken
Shops.
Does
he really?
Yes, he does.
Ron Hoskins?
Yeah, Ron Hoskins does. Number 11 for Geelong. So that's why I jumped early on, so that it was a good technique. And you know who is the best at it in the world?
No.
Simon Madden. Did it beautifully. Never beaten in the ruck ever.
Why don't we get him on?
Well, I might.
Ever?
That's ever.
A big statement,
no,
my friend.
No, he was the best at doing that ever.
Well, you must have shown him because he didn't
I
do
did
it.
I did show
he
him.
He didn't do it early
I
on in his
I did show
career.
Him, Don.
He didn't do it early on in his career.
No, because I did show him when Kevin Sheedy got
you
me
didn't rate him, Don?
Hey?
You don't rate him?
I said to you he didn't do it early on in his career.
No, and when Kevin Sheedy got me down to be the ruck coach at Essendon, I showed...
Sam's fault.
No, mate, it is.
He did the same to Stephen Lawrence at Hawthorn. He showed Stephen what to do.
Oh, you're going to the reunion?
You're going to the reunion at Hawthorn? You've been invited?
So, all right. I'll be happy to let go a private conversation that you've now made public. Stephen Lawrence, who's a very nice man, he...
Heart of gold.
Set the scene. Tell them who Stephen Lawrence
Stephen
is.
Stephen Lawrence was a ruckman of sorts at Hawthorn.
What do you mean of sorts?
Well, he was not designated ruckman.
He was.
Wouldn't have been.
He was when
here?
I got down there. I said to him, this would be a good way to play. I never
set the scene. You've got to set the scene for everybody listening.
I was the ruck coach at Hawthorn under either Alan Jeans or Alan Joyce and John Laritz, who was the manager. At Hawthorn, he got me down there and I instructed people, not instructed them, I suggested ways of playing in the ruck, and if they thought it was a good idea, they would adopt it, and if they didn't, they would ignore it, and that's how it should be. And Stephen Lawrence played in the ruck for Hawthorn, and did he win more than one premiership with them there as a ruckman? Maybe he did. Anyhow, there's a reunion for one of the 1991 premierships, is it, 1991?
That would make sense, 30 years.
Yeah, 1991 premiership, and he said, would I like to come to the reunion? And I said, no, Stephen. I said,
why?
I'll tell you, Don, reunions are for people who are actually on the park.
That's the one at Waverley, wasn't it? The only one outside
yes,
the
G. Yes,
yes. No, reunions are for people who actually are on the park doing it, not for the people sitting in the stands watching.
But
and he said, no, this is for the trainers and everyone else that had a part in it. And I appreciated the invitation and I thought about it and I had a couple of texting to and fro's with him and I haven't got back to him. I probably don't think I'll go because I just feel an imposter.
But you were the ruck coach and
yes,
he played very well, actually, in that game, Stephen
yes,
Lawrence.
Yes, because I was the ruck coach.
I know. I'm complimenting Stephen Lawrence.
And
played
me.
Very well.
Compliment me. And anyhow, I feel an imposter. I wouldn't like to go down there and be part of the...
You just claimed his success. How could you be feel like an imposter?
Oh, I am claiming it, absolutely, so Rocket. But I just don't want to... I feel you wouldn't do the same thing, would you, Don? If you were a ruck coach at Geelong and they said, come down and be part of the celebrations of the Premiership, you wouldn't go down,
I'd
would
go
you?
Down.
Would you?
If I was part of it, yes.
You wanker. Would you?
My word.
You won't even turn up to your own legendary induction.
You wouldn't. Jeff tried to make you a legend of the club and you said, no, I want it to be at the members' meeting. And he said, no, Don, we don't do it like that. We do it at the Board of General Business. And you said, well, I won't be coming. I want it done my way.
He's born in South Africa.
Exactly right. His father is Godfrey. I think he was an international cricketer too.
Who in the hell are you talking about?
Stephen Lawrence.
Godfrey Lawrence? Yes. That's Godfrey Evans.
I think his father was an international...
Oh, that's a mistake, Don, is it? He played 5 tests for South Africa.
That's a mistake, that phone ringing, was it? Anyhow, any more sport, Don, before our guest comes in?
You got the music ready?
Oh, yeah. Daddy, cool. Go on, Don. Just a minute.
Jeez, I want a tablet for this migraine.
You're right? Okay, well, that's it. He's brought the questions out a fraction late, Don. I open around streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right.
Thank God. Come back again.
I'm just crazy about you, babe. You two are getting on just beautifully today.